Listen, how many are just elated, excited, expectant for what the Lord is doing in our region right now? Oh, my family's here over there. My two girls and my wife Elizabeth, and I'm gonna share a little bit about you guys tonight. So it's good. So sometimes you don't realize when you're in the midst of something. You don't quite realize all that's happening. Let me say it this way. I was on a call with, how many know, like Zoom calls and all this stuff, right? I mean, it's just too much. Amen. Right. So I'm on a call and somebody said, hey, from I think Oregon or California or some West Coast. They said, hey, what's going on in New England? And I paused for a moment and then I began to share what the Lord has been doing with the unity of the churches in the area. What's been happening. Listen, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of a crazy 2020, in the midst of all of these things, and right, I mean, talk about that song just sang about the pressing. 2020 was pressing, wasn't it? It's also cleansing. And when I'm on the phone, I'm talking to these pastors and talking to them, and I just began to share. Well, man, we're seeing cancer get healed. We're seeing people in the hospital beds with COVID, and we're able to go in and pray and see them healed. We're seeing what the Lord is doing, like I said, with unity in the body of Christ in the midst of. Let me just say, I feel like all of the pastors in the region transitioned at the same time. Am I supposed to stand somewhere different? Is that, that's me moving around too much? How many appreciate tech team people? Yes. So in the midst of all of what was going on, I began to share where we had people in our body who just began to say, hey, we're gonna start praying every night. We're gonna gather. We're gonna pray every night, and I began to see our church and our churches in the region become houses of prayer. I was asked to pray, or I was asked to share tonight, and I immediately knew. Okay, here's where we're going. Here's where we're going. I'm excited to share from the book of Acts, and I'm excited to share from James. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you do, turn to Acts chapter 12. Do want to thank Pastor Stephen, and thank you, Pastor Chuck, and the whole staff for this great idea of getting together. How many know this? How many know that this is the beginning? Yes. This is just a taste of what the Lord is doing in our region, in the body of Christ. I can't say enough about I believe that those things that have been spoken about New England, because when I was on the call with these people, they were kind of taken back. I think they were expecting a different report from New England. But just hearing that the Lord is in our midst, he's doing something. And so tonight I wanted to talk from Acts chapter 12, and I want to talk about on this subject. I could have called it a number of things, but powerful prayers. I could have called it powerful praise. I could have called it powerful worship. I could have called it powerful living. And I want to give you just three keys from this passage. Let's read together, beginning in verse 1. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews. I underline that. Amazing how, if you pay attention to culture, culture is just a man-pleasing machine. And the idol of the God is the opinion of man. Just, let's just chase after this thing. Let's go after this opinion of man. And here we have a leader playing a political game for political gain. And he sees that this pleased the Jews. So he proceeds to arrest Peter. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads, that's 16 soldiers, to guard him in different shifts, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. Now, this moment for Herod was a prime leadership opportunity. He takes James out and now has Peter. Now, Peter, if you have read the book of Acts, which I continue, right now is a great time to read the book of Acts. Because how many believe we are about to see some things like you read in the book of Acts? Amen? Listen, how many would just say, yes, Lord? Yes. Just lift your hands and just say, yes, Lord, I am in. I am all in. Because this is a season that we are all in. This is a season. Listen, we have this prayer every night. I can't be there every night. But we are a royal priesthood. And so there are other people that are there contending, praying. Some nights I'm home with homework, with my kids. But this is an all-in moment for the church. This is an all hands on deck. This is everybody gets the chance to come off and play. So just backstory, right, as we come into Acts chapter 12. Peter, he's outspoken. Chapter 2, right, has this awesome sermon. Chapter 4. And so you have Herod arresting Peter thinking, listen, I'm going to take the loudmouth out. I'm going to squash this right now. There's churches exploding, exponential growth, miracles are happening all over the place. And in the heavens, the kingdom of heaven is advancing. Right? So we see this interaction with Herod and we see Peter. But really what's happening is a spiritual battle. A spiritual encounter. And so Satan sees what's happening and wants to take Peter out through Herod. But verse 5, our key verse for the night. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The first takeaway tonight, the first key that I'd like for all of us. Remember I said this is about powerful prayer, but it could be powerful worship, powerful praise, powerful living. That I believe God is igniting a fervency within his church. We did baptisms as a church. I think this past weekend we had the Women of the Word conference and we had church and we had spontaneous baptisms, right? And I, one of the things that I noticed is when we had them, it was like, yay. Like a golf clap. And I was like, man, heaven is erupting right now. I mean, the level of passion, the level of enthusiasm. And I believe that God, how many know, when you're excited about something, it shows. It shows. I mean, I still love Christmas morning to this day. I am 30-something, 38, I think. I still get excited. Somebody gave me a gift last week. Listen, I was elated. Like, I was so pumped about this. When we are excited about something, or passionate, or fervent, it shows. It reflects our desire. This word here that's used in the original language could mean, you could see in different translations, constantly, earnestly, fervently. How many know, I was thinking about this, that our prayer life, a fervent prayer life, is a prayer life that has an expectation for the outcome. Because we're not asking him as an orphan. We're asking him as sons and daughters. When my kids, listen, children can teach you amazing things about being fervent, constant, persistent. How many have kids or have had kids or want kids or, you know, any, you know, all of the above? Kids are eager. They're earnest. When they want something, you know it. There's no question. I wonder if God wants to transform some of our prayer lives to be like a child. To say, Papa, I know who you are. I know what's capable. I know what's possible. And transform us from this place of, well, Lord, you know, if you have the time and, you know, I know it's not Sunday, but if possible, could you look into this for me? I wonder if he's looking for a people that know how to pull, that know how to press in, to be unceasing in our prayer, to be fervent, enthusiastic. I looked it up, right? Fervent. Having or displaying a passionate intensity, zealous, wholehearted, deep-seated, passionate, enthusiastic, intentional. We pray with, in line with his word, knowing his character, his nature, asking for his heart and perspective. Okay, so prayers are off, but earnest prayers, back to verse 5, for him was made to God by the church. That word there, ecclesia. Carries with it the it's not just a bunch of people hanging out. It's not just a gathering, but it is an assembly with spiritual designated authority. It's a people on a mission. It's a people with passion. It's a people who know whom they serve and what's possible with him. And so it's praying from that place of saying, listen, we don't act on our own authority. We act in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray from that place. Interesting, I saw this. How many have social media, have used social media? It's a love-hate relationship. But I began to see, right, 2020, it was just like things happening every other day. One thing after another, right? And I began to see almost like a mocking spirit come against prayer, because you would see comments, right? And it would be like prayers, 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 and emoji hands. Yeah. And you see different things. And then I began to see people frustrated and speaking out from the culture going, what are your prayers doing? And I began to ask the Lord about that and think through that a little bit, because I think it's real easy to send a prayer emoji or to say praying. And I see other people, right? They you know, sending positive vibes. What is that? Oh, yes, that's awesome. Preaching with thunder. This is exciting. Come on. Is this part of the Bethany experience? All right. Let's get on our knees. Fresh outpouring. But I think sometimes we have minimized prayer. We've compartmentalize it to this, you know, well wishes. And I think sometimes that can happen because of the disconnect of relationship with who we are calling upon. And so I believe God's bringing a fervency to his church, a pray without ceasing, and intentional prayers, a prayers that are rooted in the word of God, rooted in his nature, rooted in his character, and saying, this is who you are, God. This is what I read in Acts. This is what's possible. And this is what it means to be a follower. I hope and pray, and I believe that the days of the powerless church are over. I believe that what is happening now and what we are seeing now in our region is that we have a people who are getting hungry. And they're saying, listen, I know who he is. I know what I've experienced in my life. And I know, I'm just going to believe on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to believe for it. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep seeking. And I'm going to believe that your word is true. Here's the phrase that we use all the time. I didn't come up with it. It's from the Bible. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just because I read about it, doesn't mean it was just for then. It's for today. It's for now. It's for your family. It's for your church. It's for your pastor. It's for your those. It is for today. All right, so here in Acts, we find, I got to go faster. Peter is bound and prayer is loosed. Listen, every area of bondage you encounter is an opportunity to release prayer. Every area of bondage that you encounter, I want you to look at it like an assignment. I want you to look at when you hear somebody say, well, I'm struggling with this. Oh, okay, this is why I'm here. Pastor Stephen's just one man. Pastor Chuck. I mean, you guys got a great team here. I looked at the website just to make sure I used to be in Royal Rangers, so we have kind of intertwined roots. But this moment that we are in is an every member ministry. Everybody has to get in. Everybody has to recognize you are on assignment. Everywhere you go, on assignment. And it's not, and again, I'm talking about this constant, this earnest, this fervency, this passion, this is who you are, God, and I will not, as a body gathering of believers with a delegated authority, I will not just let the enemy make a mess. I'm going to take a stand. Amen? So this word fervent, obviously I said we're going to be in James as well. So passage that most of us are familiar with in James towards the end of chapter 5 says this, and this is ESV. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, or maybe you know it as availeth much or effective. The Message translation says this. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. I think that people are rising up with the power of God as people who are to be reckoned with, who are done with the enemy messing with their lives. They're done with sin in their lives. That's why I said, I think 2020, I don't know about you, Pastor Stephen, but I felt like we were preaching on repentance every other week. I just felt like, you know, how many times, never mind. I don't know. I haven't been here, so. But I believe that it's important that we are also examining, because part of James chapter 5 here in verse 16, 17, it talks about having a right relationship with him. When Jesus said in Matthew about making he came from triumphal entry, right? Comes down and cleanses the temple. Remember this moment? What are we? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, this is to be a house of prayer. Believe that the Lord is cleansing us his temple, returning us to this place of prayer. Because listen, where we are going, everything, I'm telling you, everything we do, I don't know how it is for you pastors, but I can no longer, there's no longer a leadership podcast that has an answer for me right now. Right, 2020, there was no leadership podcast, there was no book. It was the book, the book, the book. So verse 6 of Acts chapter 12. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, I love this, guys, I love this story. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. It had to be awkward. Chained to two chains and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly!" And the chains fell off his hands. How is Peter sleeping? I encourage you, when you're reading the word, when you're, ask the Lord questions. Like, how are you sleeping chained between two guards on the night of the eve of your, you know, proposed death? What we do know, if you look in the book of John, well, Jesus had told Peter how his life would end. And so Peter in that moment could hold on to the word and the promises. And how we can be in peace in the midst of circumstances and adversity is hold on to his word and to his promises. Amen. All right, so here we go, verse 8. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." I made a few notes on these last few verses that I want to share with you. First of all, our deliverance flows from obedience. Just notice through the passage that he was awakened and directed. This past year, how many just feel like you woke up a little bit spiritually? A lot of it, maybe. It's not even a word, is it? A lot. I'm praying for our church, for our churches in our region. Not only would you awaken us, but would you direct us? Would you give us a divine strategy? Because I do not want to rely on my own understanding. I don't want to rely on what I've used in the past to get me through. I need divine direction. Verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer, recognizing Peter's voice. In her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. There's a lot of funny moments in the Word of God. And I love that. I love that about his nature, that those are in there too. I mean, can you imagine you have just had this just crazy encounter with an angel where you just walked out of prison and then you knock and they run away. It's got to be like, what is even going on right now? So this happens, and she recognizes Peter's voice. She runs in and reports it. Peter's standing at the gate. They said, "You are out of your mind." Could mean the words there, "You're crazy." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." Again, you have to ask yourself the question, how is that statement more believable than it was actually Peter? This is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened, they saw him. They were amazed. Some translations say astonished. The second point I want to give you tonight, a takeaway, is that I want to have, one of the ways we can have a powerful prayer life is to be faith-filled. I love when that word astonished caught my attention, because in this passage, they've been praying for this fervently, constantly, day and night, praying for Peter. And then they're surprised by the result. Two things spoke to me as I read this. Number one, I never want to lose awe. I never want to lose my being in awe of how he's working and what he's doing. And at the same time, I always want to live with an expectation that who he is and what he's capable is going to happen. It's easy for us, isn't it, to read and go, "I wouldn't have responded that way." It's really easy. But how many times in our life, I don't know about you, but I have prayed for something, he has answered, and I've already moved on to the next prayer. And I want us to begin, we've said this, I think, at the beginning of, interesting, we started this at the beginning of 2020, we were just collecting testimonies. I love the cards that you guys have that have the testimonies and the prayer requests. And I want to be, and what the Lord is doing, I want to be people that really cultivate, how are you answering? Where is your hand moving? What are you doing? I'm going to keep myself in this place of marveling, amazement, astonishment of, there you go. There's a new song that just came out, and it says, I love the lines, it says, "Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it." I love that. I believe that part of powerful prayer is being faith-filled. Letting go of doubt, letting go of unbelief. In my own life with the Lord, it's worked out that I realized that I, for a while, carried a lot of disappointments. I didn't even know it. But allowing him to heal those disappointments, to restore hope, to stir our hunger. I think, and again, as I was preparing for this, I felt like there were people here tonight, people in this room, that God is giving you opportunities to exercise your faith. How many you just, you're like, "God, yes, I want to see some miraculous things happen in my life." The journey to that might be starting with some things he's asking you to be obedient in right now. Amen. To be faithful in right now, to seize those opportunities, to exercise our faith. I encourage you to respond to the voice of the Lord. I was reminded of this passage later, after Jesus cleanses the temple, we get to Matthew 21, verse 20. This is when, I love this, this is when the disciples encounter the withered fig tree. When the disciples saw it, I'm going to read this is actually in the Amplified translation, they were astonished, there's that word, and asked, "How is it that this fig tree has withered away all at once?" Jesus replied to them, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have faith, personal trust and confidence in me, and you do not doubt or allow yourself to be drawn in two directions." Isn't that powerful? You do not allow yourself to be drawn in two directions. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, "Be taken up and thrown into the sea," it will happen if God wills it. And whatever you ask in prayer, believe you will receive. Powerful prayer is faith-filled. I want to encourage you tonight to get your hopes up. And then verse 17 closes out this passage in Acts 12. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord has brought him out of the prison, and he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. Can I tell you, church, tonight, I want to hear what's happening at Bethany. I want to hear what's happening at Calvary's Love. I want to hear what's happening in the body of Christ in our region, because I have this appetite, I have this expectation that he really, really wants to move. He really wants to do something. He really wants his church to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, let's just look at the beginning of Acts, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses, right? So there's an expectation that this is the way we live. They were devoted, Acts chapter 2, they were devoted. One of the areas was prayer. This are easy foundational keys for us as his church to right now embrace and say, we are going to be devoted to prayer. It's not going to be the golf clap kind of prayer. It's going to be fervent. It's going to be faith-filled. The final one, I really wanted it to be an F. It's not an F. It's B. It's a B. So, you know. Oh. Fervent, faith-filled. The third thing I feel like the Lord is doing right now is boldness. Boldness. I said we have this. We're reading through the book of Acts together on Tuesday nights, and as I wanted to share this with them. Acts chapter 4. Listen to Peter's prayer. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats." If you remember, he was before the religious leaders. He was being, you know, you can't preach. You can't say these things. Peter's prayer: "Look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." I said last night to the group, I think that as the body of Christ in America, we've had an obsession with safety and security. Amen. So much so that we've made it, we've sterilized the environment, and we've prayed, "God keep them safe, God keep them safe, God." Now listen, I remember when I first became a dad, I was like praying for them at night before bed. "God, protect them, keep them safe, keep them." And as much as I want that as a father, and I think that he takes great care of us as his kids, doesn't he? My prayer for them, as much as my prayer is for us, is God, make them bold. Fill them with courage to be obedient to your word, whatever the cost. And I feel like there's a shift coming in the body of Christ where our prayer will change from our concern for safety to, "God, make us bold to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ." Because there is a people, there is a culture out there that have no idea how the desperate need they are for the good news. They have no idea the condition of their heart. They have no idea the war that is going on within them. Maybe they're aware at some level, but they need a bold believer to step into their life and share the good news with them. They need a bold believer that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together as I close. Would you do this? Would you just lift your hands towards heaven tonight? Father, I pray that in this moment, I ask that there would be some switches that go off in people. There would be some things that, God, maybe there's been with this area of fervency or earnestness or constantly. Lord, I'm praying for the people, and maybe you would just say, maybe my prayer life has been too passive. Maybe it's been too sleepy. Maybe it's been too golf clap-like. Maybe it hasn't been from a place of knowing that you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That you are, as James says in the message, that it's you're someone to be reckoned with. Because you have authority. That at the name of Jesus, I mean, we sing these songs. We sing, you know, that the darkness trembles. But do we pray with a fervency that we just, when we know we drop the name of Jesus, the demons are terrified? Father, I pray that you would make us a fervent people, a people that pray without ceasing, a people that Lord, we everything that is birthed, everything that is built, every step we take, Father, it is birthed in prayer. It is seeped in your presence, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that there would just be an upgrade for people, that there would be a shift, Lord, from passive to active. Lord, we pray for this issue of faith. Lord, I pray, God, I know you've given each a measure of faith tonight. But I pray for these situations that you are calling us to put our faith into action, to exercise it. I pray that you would quicken our hearts to hear and to respond quickly when we need to put our faith into action. To pray a powerful, faith-filled prayer. Lord, not with any dependence on who we are, with a full dependence on who you are. God, that we would realize whom we are calling upon. Lord, that we would realize that it's not just well wishes, it's not just emojis, God. This is the Almighty Creator, whose ways are higher, whose thoughts are greater, who none can fathom. You are unsearchable. Lord, we can't even begin to explain you. Our language does not contain the wording. That when we call upon you, when we pray accordance with your word and your will and your nature, God, it's yes, it's amen. Lord, and I pray for boldness. I pray for boldness upon, Lord, we just pray that every negative word spoken over New England would be broken now in the name of Jesus. I pray right now that there would be a boldness released on your church. Lord, what we have seen here, the wells of revival, the things that have happened, Lord, from Northampton, all over the place, we live in a place where there is a rich history of the move of God, and we say, do it again, Lord. Do it again through your people. Do it again through us. Do it again through me. Lord, we are not assigning a name to this. We are not saying this is Cornerstone's thing or Bethany's thing. This is the body of Christ. This is fervent people, faith-filled, bold, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for each person here that we would have a powerful prayer life. I thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. We ask, we do pray, as the worship team did an excellent job of asking for new wine. Give us new wine. Give us new wine. Say this, I'm incredibly grateful, and I think every pastor in this room would say that they are incredibly grateful for the intercessors and the people who are praying for our families. I mean, just as this church prayed for Peter, there's people that pray for me and my family. There's people that pray. I want to say this: keep praying, but don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself out. Don't just pass the ministry to them. Remember, you are in ministry. Each person in here, each person with the sound of my voice. I thank you tonight. I thank you for the privilege of being together. I thank you for this amazing group of believers, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would pour your Spirit out in an unprecedented way.